Whenever I tell people that I work at the Singapore Book Council, I think the first question I always get is, there is a Singapore Book Council?
I can imagine. Right?
And what do you do there, William?
What, what is a Singapore Book Council? And then, you know, is it government? No, so we are actually an independent charity nonprofit set up in way back in 1968.
And a very warm welcome to the Asian Bookshelf, where we explore Southeast Asia's literary landscape. If you're a discerning reader, perhaps even an inspiring writer, you're in exactly the right place. We interview acclaimed writers and key industry figures to explore Southeast Asia's literature, and we take a deep dive into its narrative elements, characters, themes, and emerging trends.
In this episode, episode 6 of the Asian Bookshelf, we are speaking to William Puan, who is the executive director of the Singapore Book Council. The Book Council is a non-profit dedicated to developing and promoting Singapore literature and writers. William was formerly the director of the Arts House and program director of the New York Asian American International Film Festival. He has extensive experience working in various sectors, including journalism, arts policy and film curation in both the US and Singapore. It's good to have you, William. The Book Council runs a lot of workshops, writing workshops, including creative writing workshops. But can creativity actually be taught from above?
I think your answer is as good as mine. The mindset that we have that we are not creative enough. Singapore is not a creative society, not a creative country. We don't have good writers, which is not true. We do have wonderful writers. And the writers have a long lineage, right, past few decades. So it is there. I feel it is the scaffolding, the discipline that can be taught, right? If you want to be disciplined enough as a creator, as an artist, as a writer, regardless of whichever art form, you need to have that discipline. It doesn't just come to you.
No.
Right? Like, I think it was Einstein who said, it's 1% talent and 99% hard work.
Absolutely. Yes. And I have taught, actually, in the Book Council. I had two courses. I did an introduction to crime writing, which was fantastic. And then I did a four-week course on looking at all archival material and that we reworked into stories. And what I will say, though, about working with that, because obviously I think I came from that kind of school of thinking of like, you can't, it's just discipline and you got to work your butt off. And that's, you know, if you want to make it happen, you'll make it happen. But I do think that there is something really special when there's a group of people coming together. We're discussing literature. We're looking at different snippets from different books. We're having conversations about why that author did that, why they started that way. The story arcs in different genres, especially in crime, you know, it's very formulaic a lot of the time. And suddenly you could see, like, people start thinking outside the box. People ask questions. And that creates a space where you can have that conversation. And you can't really have that with, I mean, you can sit around with your friends and try and have that conversation. My friends, most of them are not really writers, so we don't really have those conversations. But that's the amazing thing about the Book Council and having that space is that you can have, you know, these great, and then you never know where inspiration is going to come from.
Exactly, exactly. And also I think what you said about having that form of community or a support group is really important. I think writing is a very lonely process and profession, and you need as much support as you can get. So from your peers, from your fellow writers, supporting each other, even if it's just to bounce ideas off of, or to get them to read your manuscript to get some form of feedback, I think that's really important. Even Absolutely. If it's just hang out and chill, I think that's
No, just but that's just great, it, right? Yeah. I mean, you could just have a break and then you could be having a conversation with someone Absolutely. And then suddenly somebody mentions a book and you read it and it changes your life or it changes your whole story that you're writing. So no, I totally, yeah, I get that.
Singapore is a young nation, and I think writers have expressed that there's a need for Singapore to build a strong literary foundation. Soo Chin, Christine Lim, and others have pointed out that Singapore writers need to look into themselves, into their past, into their future. But in today's Singapore, and or should we say in contemporary Singapore, some writers have spoken of the need to self-censor. What are your thoughts? Because there seems to be a culture of self-censorship. Mm.
I would say this culture of self-censorship, whether it's part of a society or whether it's part of the system, I think it's something that we all grapple with because Singapore is such a well-regulated country and society. And we know some what are the things that could get us into trouble and you know, what are the things to avoid. But I feel if we self-censor ourselves, especially in terms of writing, in terms of creativity, we're actually doing ourselves a great disservice, right? So all the more writers should really express their voices. Obviously, they need to be a bit careful, but I think there are creative ways of navigating this self-censorship kind of process and system. But be very proud and also be very bold about what they need to say. Because if you don't say it, that means it will forever remain hidden. And then that's something then that's not part of the conversation or part of the discourse. And I feel that is really doing a great disservice to not just readers, to writers, but also I think to the whole country and the whole population in general. If it's not part of the conversation, then it's something that we are trying to hide away or not trying to address. And it would stop us from thinking about, oh, what needs to get done? What are some of the creative solutions that we can put in place to solve some of these issues or challenges?
How do we navigate that? The question is, how do we navigate it? And are some people allowed more than others to voice their opinions?
I think you already see some writers who are quite... I guess for lack of a better word, quite bold in voicing out their opinions on social media and whatever they write. And some of them may have to do it from outside of Singapore, right? So they're based somewhere else, but then they become bolder and freer to express their own opinions. So I would say that as long as there's that space for all these different voices to come out, to engage in conversations, and we respond to them in a more constructive way rather than trying to say, okay, it's either I'm right or you're wrong, or me versus you, rather a very divisive way of conversation, then it's really important to encourage such voices to engage in a conversation, but also to have that space for people to be able to express themselves freely as well, instead of just shutting them down right away.
So, William, you did say many years ago in 2013 that Singapore, yes, you said.
The world is a very different place then.
It's very difficult when you're quoted back to yourself, right? In a CNA interview in 2013, you said that Singapore could well become a city of literature, right? Because it has the fundamental elements. Mm. It has an excellent library system, an excellent education system. Would you say now in 2024 it has lived up to its potential?
Why not? I feel we do have the basic structure, the ingredients to make Singapore into a city of literature. Like what you mentioned, a great library system, a great education system. We have one of the greatest libraries in the world with no problems getting access to so many books in different languages, right? So I feel the ingredients are there, but it's how we are cooking the ingredients, right? Mm. I feel it's not for lack of resources or a will to a certain extent, but it's how do we unlock some of these, I would say, barriers?
Most Singaporean writers are bilingual. How do you think this impacts the quality of their writing?
The writers have a long lineage, right, past few decades. Actually, the tradition goes way back, right, even before Singapore gained its independence. For example, in terms of Malay language words, actually, it went way back during colonial days. So Singapore was actually a centre for publishing and writing in Malay literature, in Muslim literature. So Malay language words actually have a very, very long tradition. And during the split between Singapore and Malaysia, a lot of the intelligentsia and literati actually migrated from Singapore to Malaysia. So there was actually a split. So, and also in terms of Chinese language words, you can actually trace back to during colonial days as well. So a lot of the Chinese literati came from China, and then they began writing in Singapore for the Chinese newspapers, you know, conversing, also trying to gather support for the anti-Japanese protests in China. So there was a lot of literary movement and lots of literatures and words have been written since then. It's very interesting right now how we are looking at multilingual words in Singapore, because Singapore also has become almost monolingual in its way, by using English in everything, in education, in instruction. So I would say a lot of the writers right now are writing in English, and they get the most visibility, and they get the most readers as well. But there's still writers writing in their own mother tongue that are still, you know, publishing, that are still exercising their voices. But the readership for that is unfortunately much smaller compared to decades ago.
So would you say English has the biggest body of work in Singaporean literature?
Yes, for sure. Right now, English has the highest number of works that have been published. But I would also say the highest number of readers as well. If you go to a bookstore, if you go to Kinokuniya or even Popular, you see that most of the works on bookshelves are actually in English.
Yeah.
So you have a very small selection in Chinese. For Malay, you would have to go to a specialty bookstore like Wada Books in Arab Street. For Tamil books, it's even harder. You probably would have to go to one of the small stores in Little India that also happen to be selling other things in addition to books. From day one, the mission and the objectives of the Book Council are to promote Singapore literature in the different languages, in the different genres. So to promote the love for reading, the pleasure of reading, the passion for reading, but also the passion and love of writing. Two of the most popular courses, one was on writing poetry, and the other was how to write and illustrate picture books.
Oh,
yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yes. I think there are many potential emerging children's book writers.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, they have stories that they want to write, but they also have illustrations they want to put together with the stories, yes.
And as an arts practitioner, William, what's your take on children reading e-books or reading on a Kindle rather than a physical book? Is there a difference, do you think?
I think research has shown that if children should read first on hard copy books, like from the ages of 0 to 3, so that they would be able to sense, you know, what a book is, you know, to flip it, to understand the whole narrative. And then increasingly, parents and educators can start putting them on digital equipment. So one of the things that we do is the Asian Festival of Children's Content, which is a signature festival. It's primarily targeted at children's book writers, illustrators, translators, because we do realize that we need to have good quality children's books so that they can read them and start reading them since young, and that they will appreciate what a good book is. And hopefully from there, they would inculcate that habit of reading since young and all the way to the adults and so forth. So it's important to start the young on reading. And we were just talking to a group of teachers the other time also, how do we encourage children to read, to have that joy and passion for reading? And I think it has to start with the family environment. If the children see that their parents are taking time to read, they will follow the example of the parents. If they read together, even better, right? Yeah. If we let the children just choose whatever they want to read, as long as they read, I think that's a win already.
And so then what would you say, popular genre?
Right now, I would say probably the most popular genre would be YA, YA fiction, fantasy, as well as comics. Yeah, I think these are really the most accessible. When you go to Kinokuniya, you know, that's where you see it. Most of the teenagers, the young adults are gathered in those sections. Yeah.
So what kind of specific like initiatives and projects have you been working on that many people probably aren't really aware of?
Right. I think some people probably associate the Book Council with various things. So one of the awards that we give out is the Singapore Literature Prize, which is the country's top prize for writers in Singapore. So that was established way back in 1992. And Su Chen, Christine Lim, whom you mentioned, was the first winner of the prize, right? And it's been given out to over 150 writers since 1992. And it's one of the few prizes in the world that recognize multilingual works, because we give out the prize for the four languages, Chinese, Malay, Tamil, and English, but also in different genres, poetry, creative nonfiction, and fiction. And this year, we are actually very, very excited to have added two new categories. One is for translation, so best translation into English, and then for best comics / graphic novels.
So you mentioned translators, and we wanted to ask, like, how can you ensure translators that they get their due?
I think that's a perennial challenge, not just in Singapore, but around the world. You know, we have heard translators really not getting paid their dues, and their names are not on the cover of books. So there's been this movement in the West, in the US, Name the Translator, you know, hashtag Name the Translator. So I think for us, translation is actually a key part of what we do, because again, being in Singapore, a multilingual, multicultural society, and situated in Southeast Asia, which has hundreds of languages, different communities, translation is really, really important to bridging some of the language and the cultural barriers. So what we've been trying to do is actually to build up a pool, a network of translators in terms of their skills, in terms of their industry experience, and hopefully that they will be trained enough to go look for words to be translated. So using Singapore Literature Prize, including a new translation category, is one way of raising the visibility of translators, right? And we also have the Translation Symposium, where we invite translators from Singapore as well as overseas to engage in a series of talks, discussions about the trends, also about the developments, and also how do we professionalize the whole industry, not just in Singapore, but in Southeast Asia as well.
I just want to ask you a question about the publishing industry here. Do you think there's a lack of publishing houses in Singapore?
For sure. I think we see a bit of a shrinking of the publishing sector. I think since COVID, a couple of the publishers have closed. So in terms of opportunities for writers to get published. I think those opportunities have actually shrunk a bit. So I would say writers have to work a bit harder to try to get published, not just in Singapore, but outside of Singapore. So they do need to know how to navigate the whole industry. Let's get an agent. And you have to send a lot of crying letters, you know, to agents so that the agents want to take you on. But that is part and parcel of the process. I think writers get more rejections than acceptance.
Yeah, yes. We do. So, yeah, right. We're very good at rejection.
Yeah. That's part of the whole process. So, and I feel it's, maybe Tracy, you agree that it's part of a character toughening exercise.
Yeah, Bill's character.
Bill's character. God, does it ever.
William and Tracy, thank you so much. I hope that you've enjoyed this episode of The Asian Bookshelf. Our guest today was William Puan, the executive director of the Singapore Book Council. Coming up is a book, a very important work on mental health, Our Own Voices. Thank you for listening to The Asian Bookshelf, home to words and voices in Asia today.